Sport on Highland, brought to you by MichaelMurphySports.ie. Shop 24/7 with nationwide next day delivery.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll hear from Regional Development Officer with Athletics Ireland, Dermot McGranahan, on the return to track countywide. There's also Finn Harps boss Ollie Horgan, Derry City Manager Rory Higgins, and in our League of Ireland conversation this week, our guest is former Finn Harps player and manager Anthony Gorman. But we're going to start with badminton. Sam and Chloe McGee will be first on court tomorrow morning for the quarterfinals of the European Championships in the Ukraine. The full pair beat Scotland's Christopher Grimley and Eleanor O'Donnell earlier today in straight sets, 21-16, 21-15, to reach the last eight of the competition. If the McGees are to repeat their bronze medal success from 2017, they will need to overcome Marcus Ellis and Lauren Smith in the next phase. The English pair are the top seeds in the competition. Now, as for their hopes of making it to the Olympics, Sam, of course, recently told us on the Score programme that they need to be hitting quarterfinals in the remaining tournaments before they can get the qualifying ranking for the Olympics. Another one tomorrow would keep them on track for that, as well as a possible medal. But it's going to be the biggest game of the year so far for Sam and Chloe McGee. They took on the number one seeds in the last eight of the Europeans. So to soccer, it's a double bill of Premier Division action this bank holiday weekend, with two rounds of games Friday and Monday. The champion Shamrock Rovers visit Finn Harps, while Derry City are on the road at Bohemians on Friday. Then next Monday, the North West Derby at the Brandywell will see Derry host Harps in one of five games. This week in our League of Ireland chat, I've been joined by former Harps manager and player Anthony Gorman. But before we talked about the North West clubs, Anthony told us about his recent appointment as number two at Dungannon Swifts in the Irish League.
I suppose Dean contacted me almost 2 weeks ago now at this stage, just to see whether I'd be interested in coming in alongside him. He's obviously Dean's a young manager. He could probably still play. He's only 36 years of age, but he's had a very good career as a player, and now he's following his father into management. His father, obviously Kenny, ex-Derry City manager. So Dean, he just felt he needed a bit of Irish League experience in alongside him. And so I give it a bit of thought over a few days, and then decided that, you know, why not give it a go? Because, you know, I've been watching a lot of Irish League football over the last number of years anyway, and I knew the league quite well. And now, I suppose the only team I didn't know much about was really Dungannon. And, you know, they've had a very disappointing season. But I suppose from Dean's point of view, he's come into a situation where there's no relegation this year in the Premier Division, obviously because of COVID and the Championship hasn't taken place. So he's had an opportunity to play an awful lot of young boys. And I think to date, there's been maybe 31, 32 players that have played games for Dungannon this year. And out of that, there's probably, I'm not sure the exact numbers, Ashton, but I think there's about at least 20, maybe more of that 30, 31 players that are actually teenagers. So a lot of players have been tried out. You know, but it's very, you know yourself, it's very, very difficult for teenagers to go into teams without having experienced players around them, and that's probably where Dungannon have fallen down this season.
Yeah, but obviously it's about building blocks, and given the fact there's no relegation, there'll be a bit of a stronger foundation there for next year then, aren't there?
Yeah, like already, you know, he's been on the job a few months, and you know, I was actually involved in the game on Tuesday night, and I've seen it firsthand, the potential of 11 players on view. And from the 11 players that played on Tuesday night, there was maybe 7 or 8 that I've actually known from being around the league. And, you know, like Keelan McAleer's there, ex-Finn Harps player. And, you know, it's about adding a bit of experience into the already, with the experience that he has, and just, you know, to help the young players along. But, you know, it's going to be a big job for Dean, and like, I'll do my best to help him as best as I can. And, you know, try and, the summer now, you're coming into a period now, Ashton, where the league has split. So we're going into the final five league games. And you've also got the due to the fact we beat Glenavon Tuesday night, you've got the Irish Cup game. So you could be lucky enough and get a good draw at home and prolong the season a bit. But it's about now, like, you've got five cup finals to play now, and you'd like to think that players will show enough in them five games that they'll earn new contracts for next year.
Yeah. From your own personal point of view, it's been a while, of course, since you were involved in senior management. Anthony, did you think you would get back into it at any stage, or was it something that you wanted to try out again?
Well, I did have, like, over the last number of years, I did have some offers to go back into the game, but there's nothing that really appealed to me. I had one job as a manager, but, I had a lot of commitments with Letterkenny Rovers in terms of the youth development structure at the club, and then with the seniors helping, the previous manager, Eamon McConaghy, and the current manager, Danny McConnell. So a lot of that, had to think a lot about that, because with Letterkenny, we've also got the development coming up now with a new 4G pitch, which is an exciting time for the club. And, I didn't really want to miss out on that, but I just felt that, this was a, it's not, I'm not going in as a number one, I'm going in as a number two alongside Dean. I can use the experience that I have of the Irish League to hopefully help him. And, listen, I'll give it a go. And, the more I thought about it, the more it appealed to me, Oisin. Mm-hmm. And, the thought of, being involved hands-on and try and help and, like, I think it's a good time to begin under Dungannon as well, Oisin. The fact that, we can only get better. It has been a difficult season for the club. But, hopefully the experience I have and with Dean's experience and, we can hopefully make them better and move them up the league.
Yeah. Your own son, Dale, of course, is playing with Glentoran. The season's split now, is that right? So you do not get a chance to meet Glentoran in the league, isn't that right?
It's maybe just as well.
maybe in the cup. You don't know with the draw.
Maybe in the cup, but he might have to move out for a few days, depending on how results would go. But no, listen, he's up at Glentoran, and they had a difficult start. The season, I saw new faces coming into the club. It took them a wee while to settle, but now they have settled. Like, they've been on a terrific run. They're second in the league. They're 7 points behind Olympus, which you would think that it's too much to make up, but they've actually got Olympus on Saturday now at the Oval. So there's the possibility there of closing the gap to 4 points, and with four games remaining, you never know what might happen.
Yeah. Listen, let's go to the League of Ireland Premier Division. Obviously, Anthony, you keep a close eye on what's happening on this side of the border as well. Fáinne Harps are heading on to play Shamrock Rovers. They haven't got the results over the last, week or so compared to what they had in the opening number of weeks. Just 1 point from the last three games. You've been watching them closely. What have you made of Harps since the start of the campaign? We're actually coming out close to the end of the first series of matches, Anthony, so there's a lot of football already been played.
Yeah. I think Fáinne Harps have been very good, Oisin. Like, I look at League of Ireland football, and I think a lot of teams try and play in the same sort of style. I think Fáinne Harps, the advantage that Fáinne Harps have over the rest of the clubs, I think, is the fact that it's now his eighth season in charge. Himself and Paul Hegarty have done a fantastic job. The knowledge of both of them, the knowledge that they have gained in the league over that period of time, is second to none. Paul Hegarty, like, I was fortunate enough, I've watched in the Brandywell a few games and just sat beside him and we discussed players, games. Paul Hegarty's knowledge of League of Ireland players is second to none. He's like an encyclopedia. And that having that knowledge in terms of recruitment is invaluable, because Harps have a style of play that I think is different to the other clubs that's in the league. So they can identify a player to play a specific role. More often than not, they can go and get the player that they've identified to fit in. And, from a Fáinne Harps supporter's point of view, you'd be delighted with the start they've had. If you ask Ollie and Paul, are they delighted? I'm sure inside they will be delighted. Ollie mightn't say that. But they've had a fantastic start. And I think they'll stay well clear of the bottom of the league this season, actually. I think mid-table, certainly, possibly pushing for the top half.
Did it surprise you the start that they had? What they picked up so many points at the beginning against big clubs too at that, aren't they?
Well, I watched the first game against Dundalk, and I couldn't see them losing that game. From very early on, it was quite evident that the game plan that they had and the players, their work rate, they pressed Dundalk very high. Dundalk trying to play out from the back. I think they underestimated Finn Harps. They certainly didn't show them respect that the Finn Harps squad and the club deserved, because in any game of football, you've got to win a battle first before you try and go and play, and you've got to earn the right to play. Dundalk within that game didn't do that. They just thought they had a God-given right to go out and play. And I think it was the first goal where the goalkeeper gets caught in the ball. That just epitomised Dundalk's performance on the night. So from that, like the surprising thing for me about Finn Harps, was so far has been the games that they've lost. I didn't expect them to lose the, down in Sligo. I thought they would have went there, set up their shop. And, I know it was an unfortunate goal that beat them. But by and large, they don't lose too many games when you'd expect them not to get beat. Is they usually set up and are very difficult to beat.
Yeah, they suffered their first home defeat at the hands of Pats last weekend, Anthony. Shamrock Rovers, the champions, are coming to town. They haven't lost, I think, in a year and a half in the league. So huge opposition. But is this a game that Harps can get something out of?
I think so. You look at Finn Harps going to Dundalk last year and getting a point. Who would have thought that? That's the thing. Ollie and Paul Hegarty, they can set up a team. They're very difficult to play against. They can play for set plays. Rovers now, you give them credit, give St. Pat's credit. They have started the season really, really well. Unbeaten, both teams unbeaten. Pat's just ahead of them on goal difference. But, there is a different level. The fact that Rovers, Pats, Dundalk, financially it's very difficult to compete with them clubs, but in one-off games and with the organisation and the discipline of the players that Ollie has acquired, there's every possibility that they can get a draw. But you look on paper and you think, it's a banker for Shamrock Rovers, but it wouldn't be, opinion anyway, it wouldn't be the banker that maybe some people might think.
Yeah. No goals in the last three games for Ollie's side, having scored a handful in the opening number of weeks. I know Ollie's not too bothered about that at the moment. He's looking at keeping a clean sheet one end before thinking about putting the ball in the back of the net the other. Where's the goals going to come from if Harps are going to try and get one? Because Adam Foley is obviously injury doubt again. He may or may not start on Friday night. We just have to wait and see when we get the team sheet. But what other options is there for him there, Ant?
Well, that's like Finn Harps traditionally over the last number of years. Like you look at the Foley's top scorer in the league with four goals, but Finn Harps have only scored six. So like goals will always be a problem for Finn Harps, because at the end of the day, you pay big money for strikers and you've got to pay top dollar. Finn Harps wouldn't have the budget that other teams have. Finn Harps, over the last number of years, they've been very good in set plays, Oisin, whether it's from deliveries. They also have Tony McNamee. He's got an unbelievable throw. You remember a couple of years ago, Tony setting up a winner against Derry, with a super long throw. So set plays are vital. If Finn Harps are set up, they'll be very difficult to play against, difficult to break down. They will defend their set plays really well. They're well organised in that respect. And then they've great options from the other end, from attacking set plays. So I always feel when Finn Harps get set plays in good areas, that they do have a real chance.
Yeah. Let's go to the other game involving the North West side, which, of course, Derry City. They're on the road against Bohemians on Friday night at Daly Mount Park. They'll be a bit of excitement around the Brandywell now because they've got their first one. It's taken them a while to get it. Rory Higgins in for his first game and charge. There'll be a different feel about the Brandywell as they leave and head to Dublin compared to what it was 7 days previous, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, going into, obviously watching Derry quite closely, you know, you're looking at their squad and you're looking at their fixtures and you're wondering where the first 3 points is going to come from, because they did have a terrible start to the season, no doubt about that. And the fact that, you know, Derry's squad's very young and very inexperienced. So that's has a major factor on performances and results. And ultimately it's cost Declan Devine his job. But Rory Higgins came in and, you know, it wasn't, by all accounts, it wasn't a great game or a great performance down in Sligo. But he'll be delighted, you know, that one of the positives down from the Sligo game is he kept a clean sheet. And the 3 points, I honestly feel, would have been a bonus to him, and it was a penalty in that. But it gives him a lift going into the Bows game now. He would have had a full week's training with them to put his own stamp on things. And but it's a big few months for Derry City, Oisín. You know, they have to stay within touch of the teams. Like, I look at, say, Dundalk's only a point above them. But in saying that, you'd expect Dundalk's quality to shine through in the next couple of weeks and maybe move further up the table. But Derry will have to compete with Longford, Waterford at the minute, stay within touching distance of them, and then come when the window opens up in July, try and recruit and add a bit of experience to the squad.
Is that a good appointment by Derry? Philip Adardy, the chairman, bringing in somebody of the calibre of Rory Higgins?
I think so. You know, he's somebody that played a lot of football for Derry City. He's gained good experience working with Stephen Kenny at Dundalk, and also the fact, you know, he's been involved in the international team most recently. So it was probably a big decision for Higgins to leave the FAI set up and join up with Derry City. But he obviously feels his future is in management, and there's no better start than, you know, to get in the managerial ladder than join a club that he knows very well and a club that he played an awful lot of games for. So I think it's a very good appointment by Philip O'Doherty.
In relation to the squad, it's very young around Derry, so there is a few players that have a bit of experience. You said that Dundalk would have the quality of player to pull themselves out of where they are. Do you feel that would be the same for Derry, that they can pull themselves out of the bottom two, come a crunch time of the season later on?
Well, I'm sure they'll be looking at Longford and Waterford as the teams that they're going to have to finish above. You would expect, like, Dundalk are a bit of a mess at the minute with the whole circus that's surrounding the whole management situation there, with managers coming in, managers resigning. So nobody really knows what's going on at Dundalk. And there has been uncertainty too down at Waterford. Like, there's reports that Mike Newell and Kevin Sheedy have left and resigned and been sacked. And, you know, so there's always, you know, there's always somebody worse off than yourself that you would think. But Derry, you know, they are very young, and I suppose from a positive point of view for Derry City, like, there's been a few players have come in the side the start of the season, like young Brendan Barr from down in Newton. Brendan's done really well in the few games he's played. So the fact they have had an opportunity to get a bit of League of Ireland exposure will help them players in the long term. But I'm sure, certainly in the short term, Declan or Rory will be looking to stay within touch and distance of the Waterford and Longford. And, you know, as I said previously, come July, he's got a big, you know, July is going to be a big month for him in terms of recruitment and getting in a few experienced players.
Yeah. One other team we mentioned is Sligo Rovers on the road at Drogheda United, obviously looking to bounce back from that defeat to Derry. But there's a different feel about Sligo this year. Liam Buckley has been building the squad over the last number of seasons, and now Sligo will be seeing themselves as top two, top three contenders, and they'll be looking to make up for that defeat last week.
Yeah, they'll be looking to, they'll certainly be looking for a reaction. But, you know, the Sligo board deserve an awful lot of credit, because, you know, Liam Buckley was under pressure. You know, if you remember going into the split last year into the before lockdown, Sligo down near the bottom of the league and hadn't won a game in how much. And the Sligo public rallied around the club, raised a lot of money. They took in a few players after lockdown. And they ended up really strong finish. They ended up, it was top four, top five, the finish last year. But the club stood by Liam Buckley as well. You know, when, you know, a lot of people looking at Sligo thinking, you know, a change of management will help. But, you know, the split or the break in the season did them no harm at all. And it was allowed them to get in some players, experienced players and quality players. And, you know, they've just kicked on. this season from where they left off last season. And you're right, they'll be looking to top four, top five would be a successful season, in my opinion, for Sligo.
Yeah. Just finally then, Anthony, one other game we're going to mention, and it's taking place next Monday. You've been involved in a few of them, big Northwest derbies in the Premier Division. Derry City hosting Finn Harps. These are always matches that are marked in the calendar as ones to watch out for. And there's no better feeling, I suppose, when you're involved in a derby, is there?
Yeah, but unfortunately for me, when I was playing, I don't think I ever beat Derry City. Either as a player or a manager. A couple of draws maybe, but Derry were always riding high at that time. You know, I'd expect a favourable result for Finn Harps come Monday night. I think their experience, Finn Harps' organisational skills, the physicality that the players have, you know, I just think it'll be too much for quite a young Derry City team. And, you know, Finn Harps will begin that game confident that they can get 3 points.
We look forward to the games at the weekend. What's your plans for the weekend with Dungannon?
We play Carrick on Friday night, first game of the split. So, as I said, like, you know, I've seen them play one game. We have a training session tonight, Thursday, and then the game tomorrow night. So I've had very little contact with the player so far. So to get in the Carrick game on Friday night, or Dungannon and Carrick on Friday night, and then I'll probably watch the Linfield Glentoran game on Saturday.
Who's getting that one?
Well, from a league point of view, and for the Irish League, I think the league needs Glentoran to win. But you know, when it comes down to Linfield's experience, you know, you'd expect that they would have learned from losing the two previous games to Glentoran. But at the Oval, Glentoran, you know, and they have to win it. Like, it's going to come down to who wants it the most on the day. And I think with the quality that Glentoran have in the squad, they'll be more than a match for Linfield. But you've asked me who's going to win it. I don't know.
Well, you would take Dale Gorman scoring the winner and Glentoran winning it, would you?
Yeah, you would. You know, from Dale's point of view, you'd like to think that he'd be part of a successful team. So, well, we hope he gets on all right.
Okay, listen, Anthony, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Ashley. Thank you.
Well, Finn Harps go into Friday evening's clash with the reigning champions and league leaders Shamrock Rovers, sitting fourth in the table and 6 points adrift of the top two. Harps have picked up a point from their last three games and suffered a first home defeat last time out at the hands of St Pat's. Speaking to me this week for The Score, Harps manager Ollie Horgan said, if we're not right, it could turn out to be a long night. I know a couple of weeks ago you said to me that you were hoping reality wouldn't set in. That was pre the Sligo match. Since then, two defeats and a draw. Is this the reality we're in now at the moment then, Ollie?
Look, it is what it is. I mean, you know, a lot of people wanted to maybe, you know, get carried away a little bit. I wasn't trying to be a killjoy. I just wanted to explain this, that, you know, it's middle of the road is where we hope to be, wherever that may be. I felt that maybe some people wanted to get a high out of this, and maybe that's part of it. I'm not quite sure, but I just wanted to be cautious and explain it. And from day one, you know, I've warned people about what we're in, and we're in a fight and we're in a battle. And please God, we'll fight and we'll battle, Lushing.
Yeah, but at the same time, Ollie, during that period, that it's instilled maybe an extra bit of confidence on the side, knowing that they can take results against some of the better teams. Would that be fair enough?
Yeah, most certainly, yeah. I mean, you know, you've referred to the Sligo game. There was nothing in the Sligo game until a mistake. And we got turned over from that. Had that not gone in, we could be having a completely different conversation here. But we've accumulated a number of points which we're happy with up to now. However, we're going into, you know, the best team in the country to play against tomorrow night, Oisín. So we're quite realistic of, you know, the standard that's ahead of us. We play at Pat's last Friday that are up there. Shamrock Rovers we would consider to be ahead of them even. So it'll be, you know, if we're not right tomorrow night, it'll be a long, long night for us. And that's the reality of the Premier Division.
Yeah. Are you going to need a 2-0 advantage and more like what you had the last time when you played them in the Cup, Ollie, if you're to get something out of the game?
Well, that wasn't good enough the last time, you know, and I don't normally refer to this, but the same referee is refereeing tomorrow night. Am I blaming 3 penalties in 4 minutes for the away team? Very possibly, you know. I don't know, would we have beaten Shamrock Rovers and held on or kicked on from the 2-0 lead? And we never know, but, you know, we certainly closed the gap that night against them. However, tomorrow night, they haven't lost, basically, in the League of Ireland in 18 months. And, you know, we would love to close the gap again tomorrow night, regardless of penalty decisions. But we need one of them to go our way, as opposed to 3 of them going against you that happened the last time. That's not sour grapes in any manner. There's no guarantee we'd have got through to the Cup semi-final had those penalties not been given, but it certainly would have maybe given a helping hand to the opposition then.
And I suppose one thing coming out of that game, Ollie, from a Shamrock Rovers point of view, they've a more understanding of the threat of Harps now this time around.
Yeah, possibly, yeah. And you could say the same about Pats last weekend, where they were turned over in the Cup as well as the league in Ballybuffet last year and knew. But I don't think Shamrock Rovers, of all teams, underestimate anyone, including ourselves, to their credit. They're hugely, hugely professional. They have a serious quality as well as number of players available for the selection. And they've added serious quality to what they had last year. They've probably only got better. But we'd love to make it tough for them and see what way it goes, as we did last year. But then the other side of it is that the year before, they comfortably bet us 3-0 in Ballybuffet, where we need to stay in the game tomorrow night, be it that we don't concede early and that we can make it difficult for them. But that itself will take a lot of things to go our way, including maybe decisions from the people officiating.
Yep. You're banging in the goals in the opening number of matches, Ollie, in the Premier Division. They've sort of dried up over the course of the last week to 2 weeks. Is it concerning for you?
No, many people have asked me that question, and I referred to a number of years ago where we went 8 games without scoring, and there was more talk in the media about doom and gloom, and we eventually got a nil-all draw in a midweek game in the showgrounds after 8 defeats, where Raff, who was playing with Sligo at the time, missed a penalty in the last minute. It was the third last game of the season. We were gradually going down the table. It looked like we could be in the relegation playoff position. We got a draw there, and we bet Bray and Bowes to finish out the season and stayed up. And I don't think anybody remembers those 8 games without goals, bar myself and Paul Egerty. But, of course, we'd love to score more goals. We'd love to keep the clean sheets as well. But, you know, we at least scored against Shamrock Rovers in that cup game last year. Previous to that, we hadn't scored in a number of years against them. Defensively, they're very strong, as well as the attacking threats that they have.
Yeah. And going into this game, Ollie, against Rovers, are you going to make a number of changes from the last match against Pats, or what's the plan? Are you being forced into making changes?
We have a number of people that are injured, people that are injured prior to the Pats game, and one or two that picked up knocks. We have 3 games in the week ahead of Ushing, Friday, Monday and Saturday, and we need to make sure that, you know, if people aren't right for tomorrow night, that we have them right for Monday, or if they're not right for Monday, we have them right for Saturday. That as I said, probably the only positive we have is that we have a bigger number of the panel than we ever had, and, you know, 3 games in a week, we need to use that, as we did 10 days ago for the 3 games in that week also. Yeah, there'll be a number of changes, and there'll be a number of changes going into Monday, and probably a number of changes then going into Bowes at the end of that week.
Yeah, Johnny Dunleavy was a surprise inclusion last week. Any surprises for us this week, Ollie, on the cards?
No, not yet, Oshin, but the day, it's early in the day here, you know. No, look, we're delighted to get Johnny. I mean, it's not so much a surprise. I tried to explain this at the time also. Johnny hasn't played in 24 months. He's coming back from a serious operation. And, you know, it's just a question, can he stay fit and help us out? And I don't think he needs any of the attention on the basis that, you know, we're just hoping that he doesn't break down, he can stay fit and add to what we have already.
Okay, just finally then, Ollie, you did mention the three games coming up. We've got Shamrock Rovers, Derry City and Bohemians. What would you like to get out of those three games come next weekend?
We'd love to win them all, Oisin. Like, you know, wouldn't it be great? But we've no idea. You've no idea what we can get out of it. They're three hugely difficult games. Two of them away from home. One of them, obviously, against the top team in the country. We need to see. We haven't even looked at Derry or Bowes. Really, our concern is Shamrock Rovers and Friday. If we don't put everything into that, we certainly won't be getting a result. If we take a right off the ball on Friday, we could take a long, long day if we prioritise other games. So we'll go at it tomorrow night and see where that gets us, and we'll see where we're at on Saturday morning for the Derry game then, Oisin.
Okay, thanks for talking to us, Ollie. The best of luck against Rovers.
Take care, bye.
Kick-off time to that game, of course, between Harps and Shamrock Rovers is 7:45 tomorrow evening, and we will have full live match commentary here on Highland with Jeremy Doherty and Declan Boyle, and of course online at highlandradio.com as well. Our coverage this Friday in association with Highland Motors in Letterkenny. Well, Rory Higgins takes his Derry City side to Daly Mount Park tomorrow night, hoping to build on last week's much-needed win in Sligo. The city manager got his new career off to a winning start at the Showgrounds, but knows only too well the threat of his former club Bohemians that they will pose this time around. Higgins told Kevin McLaughlin he wants to take a good week in training onto the pitch in Dublin.
Hi, it's been really good. It's been good to get back on the training pitch, and the players have been brilliant there, man, and they've met it head on, and it's been enjoyable. And again, nice to be back on the pitch.
And it's a case where you're going back to an old stamping ground at Bohemians, and it's a Bohemian side that they've been a wee bit inconsistent, but when you watch them, they've been unlucky in results, particularly last week against Shamrock Rovers.
Yep. Take results away, because results can go anyway at times. Their performance last week against Shamrock Rovers was at a very, very high level. They're a very good side, good players throughout the pitch, and for us to go there and get a good result, we all need to be at it.
What are you like sort of with squad wise? Is anybody in and out, or what he's like? I know Kieran Call went off last week.
Kieran Call's 50-50. We'll assess it over the next 24 hours. Darren Cole is out because he got an injection on Tuesday, and he needs a bit of time to recover from that. But apart from that, we're okay.
Well, it's sort of one of them where a selection headache is what you want. While the squad may not be experience wise big, it's still a lot of young boys and a lot of players in the squad that's going to give you a selection headache.
Yeah, when you look at last week, all three subs that came onto the pitch had an impact in the final result, and that's what you want. You want people putting their hand up, and you want tough decisions they make. And there won't be wholesale changes, but we'll see. But no, we're in good spirits and looking forward to the game.
Well, it is a case of you got a clean sheet last week. That's a positive. Obviously, you got the one. But you were right, they alluded to last week. The final third is where you're sort of working on. Is that something you maybe worked on this week a lot?
I would like much the same defensively. I thought it was very, very good. Limited a good front four of Sligo. The very few chances, and if any. But we will look to improve at the top end of the pitch, and of course we've been doing a bit of work on it this week, but let's not make a mistake about it, that our players at the top end of the pitch can score goals and create goals, and it's just a matter of embracing that responsibility of taking the team to a new level, and we have the players to do that.
Rory Higgins, Derry manager, looking ahead to the tie against Bowes. And of course, we do have that big derby to come on a bank holiday Monday. Derry City hosting Finn Harps. It's the first of the Northwest derbies between the two sides this season. It's at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium. Starts bank holiday Monday, 7:45. And we'll also have full live match commentary from that game this coming Monday night. Jeremy Doherty, Martin Holmes and Declan Boyle will be watching the action for us there. So, senior sport is set to return next month. Under the latest easing of restrictions by the Cabinet today, clubs will be returning to training as from the 10th of May. It's welcome news by clubs in Donegal, across the GAA and soccer sectors in particular, who have not been allowed to train or play since Christmas. Well, Junior Athletics was back this week with underage boys and girls returning to the track or an available appropriate facility. Regional Development Officer Dermot McGranahan joined me to discuss the return for the youths and the potential growth in numbers across the county.
It's been a long time since Christmas, you know, and obviously we're back now. We started Monday there, so looking good. The feedback from the club so far has been huge, you know. It's been all positive, you know. We're obviously a bit of fear of wondering would be lost out and a wee bit of engagement, really. But I think looking and listening to everybody, there's been a huge demand for it, and everybody's back and obviously working together, and good engagement over the last 2 days, you know. Things have changed, I would say, and it's going to be changed for a while. I would think, I've seen the normal has sort of changed. But, you know, we coaches and all aspects of sport, you know, adapt very quickly. You know, and I think, you know, obviously we have the pods of 15 that we've got to try and work as best we can. You know, obviously everybody's circumstances are different, so the pods is key. But the big question a lot of people are asking, how many pods are we allowed? So that all depends on your circumstances, really. I think it's everybody's case scenario is different. You know, take for instance, you know, you have a big area in Letterkenny, you have a big area in Finn Valley, you know, where like the likes of Finn Valley last night, 300 people. Ross's AC on Monday night, I think, at over 200. Same with Letterkenny, same with Lifford's. But, you know, the big story here possibly would the likes of Olympian, who are turning a wee bit out of Glens Folly out there. And, you know, I've just seen a few pictures up there, they're turning on the car park. You know, so whatever comes, whatever suits. The big one is obviously the COVID screening, the back and track, the app for the screening more so than anything else, and for the tracing. So that's the new things that's been brought onto it, and the COVID questionnaire, so that your circumstances is, you know, as good and health wise, you know. So
yeah, well, certainly the role of a coach has changed somewhat compared to what it was 2 or 3 years ago. Then, Dermot, there's a lot more involved in it now, and there's a lot more you have to learn about.
Absolutely, yeah. But listen, as I said, I've seen it. People adapt very quickly. The kids understand, you know. The big one, obviously, is, you know, getting the protocols in place from day one. And I think, you know, with the county board and the new organisation, everything else, we're ahead of the game, you know. And things is the protocols are in place, and there should be no fear whatsoever. We are back on track, and as I say, to reassure parents, to reassure coaches, that clubs are doing their best and has all the protocols in place.
Dermot, obviously yous were organizing and implementing virtual challenges and creating different virtual events for right across the county, and the great thing about this was Athletics Ireland and Dublin seeing what yous guys in Donegal were at, and they decided to run it out nationally.
Absolutely, yeah. I'll tell you what, we have a new committee now in Donegal, chaired by Michael Galvin from Letterkenny, doing great work, and the big one is he's keeping the meetings nice and short, which is important, but doing massive work. The likes of Mark Conley, Juvenile Affairs, Patrick Galvin, Senior Competition, Michael Logan, doing a massive, massive job at coaching development. As I say, that's not the only ones. A real good, strong committee. Obviously, through my own role as RDO, pushing out, working with Michael, working with the whole team, working with the county board, rolling out challenges throughout the year and even before Christmas. You know, and as you say, I've seen Athletics Ireland has contacted myself and others to try and get it rolled out throughout the country. So we had big, massive engagement before Christmas, the cross-country challenge. We had over 5,000 athletes competed in the cross-country challenge. And the new one this year we've done in February there, which was a six-week challenge covering, you know, more or less run, jump and throw sort of thing, you know. And it's been massive as well, and big engagement in Donegal. So, you know, as I say, we're ahead of the game up here. We're leading the rollout here, and having no qualms. Through all that, actually, I think we're going to have an increase in numbers. You know, a lot of people talk about the decrease in numbers, but I think we're going to enhance our numbers from it. You know.
Yeah, a lot of sports officers, Dermot, are concerned about the drop off. And I was chatting to a guy this week who was discussing the age group of from 16 to 18. And that sport and sessions and everything was all organized for them, and all they did, they showed up. So it was very hard for a youngster of that age to do something on their own. So, but you're sort of saying now that with all these youngsters who have been involved in lockdown and have possibly struggled, that they're quite eager to get back again, and you're going to see numbers grow rather than depleted numbers coming back.
Yeah, that's for sure. Like from what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing, especially really what a lot of people don't understand, the coach's role, no matter what sport you're involved in, Ashton, is huge. You know, no matter what sport it is, you know, especially through athletics, the engagement that coaches rolled out and fired out to the parents at home, who the parents had to go within and take their kids for that session or whatever, maybe on the road, maybe in the grass, maybe in the woods or whatever. But they have more or less seen now what we do as coaches. We do it at our clubs, no matter what sport. And, you know, they've seen the positive feedback from their athletes, and we've seen the positive feedback from parents. But the engagement has been huge. And I think that, you know, no matter where we're at here with us, the mental health and the physical health that parents sees of what we have been doing, and they have no problem getting them back in it again. It's amazing the feedback we've been getting from parents, more or less saying, we realise what you have done now, what you have been doing all along. It's been a tough job, but we're so glad to see you back.
Yeah. Funny, I was talking to someone else this week as well. It suggested that athletics now on the return can prove hugely beneficial, not just for athletics, but for those involved in other sports as well, Dermot.
Yes. The big message I would put out, you know, is not to be panicking. You know, there's kids has been off for a long time. No matter what sport it is, natural fitness is always going to be there. But, you know, the big thing is the message I'll put out to everybody, all clubs, all sport, no matter what it is, especially athletics, will be the case that, you know, we have no national competition right through to the end of August, or the middle of August, sorry. We have regionals coming through in July, but our county championships and one thing or another is not until, you know, we're going to get 6 or 8 weeks training, so not to be panicking. But yes, for other sports, obviously, no matter what sport you have to play, you have to be able to run. So I would say gradually get your athletes fit, get them back into it nice and easy, get them back relaxed, because the standard of fitness has gone way, way down. So I would say get the fun environment going first again, get your numbers back, and as I say, get it back nice and easy and back on track as easily as possible, you know.
Yeah, and you mentioned as well there about national competitions coming up later in the year. Dermot, obviously they are a huge target for those who are very, very committed to athletics and want to do well representing their club and indeed the county too. But we're all hoping that things will be sorted out maybe a wee bit better come that stage. Are you confident that you will have nationals later in the year?
Yeah, well, I know we talked last year about this. Actually, you know, but, you know, the big thing is that we have in place this year, obviously, it's to do with figures, really. If we can get our figures and we hear the magic words of level 3 or level 2, you know, we here in Donegal are more or less set up for, like, one of the initiatives that Mark Conley set up is triangular meets, you know, which we can get, we're allowed to have participation or competition with 200 people, you know, these tri meets is going to be huge locally. County championships then, obviously level 2, we're looking obviously 400 people for those. Obviously regional championships is penciled in for July, and yes, the national championships are on the first 3 weekends for juveniles, are on the first 3 weeks of August, so they are penciled in. Obviously it's to do with this rollout of the vaccines and one thing or another, and that's going to be key, Oisin, you know. We find that obviously our juniors and our under 23s and our drop off is huge importance to us, and those are the athletes that's missed out for the last couple of years, you know, it's coming into that crossroads of college and one thing and another. So what we're trying to do, obviously, with the rollout and one thing and another, we're actually looking for a few exemptions for people who are looking for standards for European competition, because the European youth is on this year. Youth has just been cancelled. The juniors and the under 23s, one's in Estonia and the other one's in Norway. So that's what we're trying to do as well, actually, trying maybe to get a few exemptions so that people can travel to Northern Ireland or to England or whatever for trying to create a standard, you know.
Yeah. Just finally then, Dermot, as you wait these dates and levels to come back in where you can implement your strategy and get competitions back again. And by the way, you're talking about how the Donegal board are working at the moment. Is it fair to say then that Donegal are in a very, very solid position going forward when all this action is set to come back?
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. The likes of, you know, I can't say enough about the likes of Michael Logie from Rosses, the coaches forums that he's doing every 2 weeks, you know, bringing on the ground coaches, juvenile coaches, and getting them ahead of the game, having discussion about training, ideas, sharing ideas. Listen, it's not happening anywhere else throughout the country. Through my areas now, I'm trying to do that. You know, then the other ones, club captains, senior club captains, putting a presentation together at the minute to try and help the senior clubs together. Maybe this rollout of county championship making it a better environment as far as county level and prestigious to compete. You know, at the end of the GAA and you're competing for your county, let's do the same for athletics. And that's what's happening here at the minute. And I have no qualms about it that our sport is getting stronger and stronger, you know. And that's all down to the people that's working on the ground. Like, at the end of the day, we're all working together. The likes of Patsy there, who's been promoting the sport of athletics for years and years and years. There's so many other people doing it now, and it's great to see, you know.
That's Dermot McGranahan speaking to me today and bringing an end to another edition of The Score programme. If you missed any of tonight's show, you can go to the sports section of HighlandRadio.com. You can listen back or indeed watch some of the interviews there. Our next bulletin on Highland is tomorrow morning with Chris Ashmore after the 8:30 news. So until then, what's left of your Thursday, have a very good evening.
Sport on Highland brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up on all the training essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie with nationwide next day delivery.